It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where we are maintaining our line slightly lower than the high line Liverpool were playing against Arsenal last night. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
After quite a while, Vishal, and we are back after having talked about squad changes and playing around with positions for the teams in the last week. But while some things have reverted to mean, some others have not, because it has been a crazy week of results. And we will break them down for you on this pod, Soccer Sense style. So Vishal, you will have to give us the breakdown of the three big results of the week, which also could have potential title and four implications. But first, let's get the one match out of the way, which defied logical explanation, because it finished Manchester United 3 and Brighton and Hove Albion 2. Let's just talk about this game for a moment, Vishal, because we were watching the game on Saturday evening.
Yep.
And in terms of quality, it completely defied belief, even if you adjusted for every other difficulty that teams have been facing and so on. But it seemed like a weirdly lethargic game and yet somehow amazingly dramatic.
Lethargic is the right word, especially from United then. I do not, again, I think Solskjaer proved us right again by showing that they're currently a one-trick pony. Brighton knew for a fact that they were going to try to hit them on the counter and came prepared for that. And over a period of time, Brighton got into the game as time went by. And in fact, was the better team for the 90 minutes. It's not like for a 5 or 10 minutes spell. They were across the 90 minutes. Brighton were way ahead of United, be it with terms of style of football, be it terms of how they were beating United with respect to passing around United, penetrating the United midfield and defense. And, you know, the number of times they hit the post was not funny in that game. So, I think honestly, Brighton deserved to win that game. If you have to be a complete neutral and you have to look at this as objectively as possible, but however, I think the league is all about these differences, right? The difference between a good, bad, and a good and a bad team is mistakes and inexperience move like that, right? And Mbappe putting his hand up. Firstly, the new handball rule itself is ridiculous, right? And on top of that, if you are going to put your hand up like that and you're asking for it for all practical purposes, and while people call it luck, I call it stupidity, because that was stupidity on the part of Brighton. He had no business putting his hand up there. So when you do silly moves like that, you deserve it. You actually deserve it, because you should have just taken the point and gone home, but you decided to pull that.
No, that definitely was the naivety. And we should note that the handball incident happened because of a corner that was conceded, a corner that should not have been conceded in the first place, because the time was ticking down on the stoppage time at that point of time. Any experienced team would ideally have smartly let the clock run out and manage the game clock there. Yep. But obviously, Brighton did not.
Brighton did a lot wrong after scoring that goal, like excessive time in celebrating, which led to 3 minutes being added on. And they did a lot of really, silly, really silly things by the end of the game to lose that game. So, yeah.
And speaking of inexperience, it's a good segue into our next game that we want to talk about. West Bromwich Albion 3, LC 3. Of course, we should note that West Bromwich Albion, the newly promoted side, were leading 3-0 within half an hour in that game against Frank Lampard's Chelsea, which he spectacularly exposed some of the issues with Chelsea that we have been talking about. But at the same time, is this something that is blame that squarely lies with Chelsea and Frank Lampard, or were just West Bromwich Albion too good on the night? Of course, Chelsea did fight back to 3-3, so we'll talk about that too.
So, yeah, like we land up having these games of halves, right? But let's be clear about one thing. Chelsea have spent over 200 million this transfer window, right? But I've been following Frank Lampard as a manager closely since he took over at Derby, because I really wanted to figure what this man and his management style is all about. And I wanted to figure if he can make it in the big time, right? And I was fairly impressed from last season to this year, to the season before, where he did well against Derby, with Derby, sorry. And he did really well with a not so strong Chelsea team and with a relatively young Chelsea team, right? And I thought he was going to use that as a springboard. And there was one interview before the start of the season that really left me disappointed, when the reporter basically asked Frank Lampard, saying, you have these great players in your youth system who come up the ranks and who seem like they can really take you forward. And Frank Lampard made this really disappointing statement where he said he doesn't want to run an academy club. And I think that's a very, very strong and disappointing and almost reflective statement of what football is right now, right? Because let's be clear, the only reason Chelsea had the 3-3 draw is not because of their 200 million buys. Half of them weren't on the ground yet, but those who were didn't really cause that much impact. It was all Mason Mount and Hudson-Odoi, right? And these two players Mason Mount was tremendous from the word go. He was the only player who tried in the first half, and Odoi came on and lit the team on fire as well. However, the most disappointing part of in all this is, after spending 200 million, you have not fixed your defense. If Lampard, if Chelsea, and if anybody who follows Chelsea thought Thiago Silva is the answer to your defensive woes, you are wrong, because one, he's 36, and at the age of 36, coming and getting used to the English pace and English style of football in itself is going to be hard. But let's also be clear that Thiago Silva played the last few years of in PSG, right, where 99% of the season was a walk in the park. And think about it, every time they came up against a challenge in the Champions League, they always conceded goals, and that's not coincidental as well. So while he brings experience, he brings all of that, he's not necessarily the best defender in the world, never has been. He's a good defender, but he's not going to be the answer to your problems. And it's kind of shocking that Chelsea have spent all of this money and don't have a world-class defender in their lineup who's going to stop this, right? So you can buy all the attacking talent you want, but not every team is going to be as inexperienced as West Brom and let you come back in a game, because the goals they conceded were appalling, right? It was mistake after mistake after mistake.
Yeah, I think the second goal I will remember for a long time, because I thought after the Manchester United-Brighton game that there was not much schoolboy football left in that Saturday. But well, obviously Chelsea were out there to prove us wrong.
Chelsea were just atrocious. I think the defense was atrocious. And see, again, as entertaining as games are, like these are for the neutrals, for the manager, it's a nightmare, right? And Lampard really needs to look at himself and figure out, one, his transfer demand and transfer strategy, because he has missed the trick with respect to bringing a defender in. And I don't know if he has enough time to fix that. And that might cost him a lot more than he could think this season, because this is a new team playing together for the first time. So while the offense takes its own time to figure itself out, the rest of the defense might not hold up and let you give you that time to figure things out. So that was the rude awakening that Lampard required, because the previous game, a lot of the gaps were not noticed as much because everybody assumed Liverpool are far superior. Yes, Liverpool are far superior, but if West Bromwich are going to take you for three goals like that, you might have a long season if you don't improve on your defense.
And one of those goals definitely looked like the defense had frozen for whatever reason. So that'll be a tough one to forget. But speaking of tough ones to forget, let's move to the Etihad now, Vishal. And for a result that, obviously, after all the drama on Saturday, everybody thought Sunday would be more of a return to form and not much to talk about. But who, boy, do we have things to talk about, because Manchester United, Manchester City 2, Leicester City 5, Jamie Vardy hat-trick. I mean, number one, Jamie Vardy seems to just love playing against Manchester City. More importantly, did Pep Guardiola miss a trick here? I mean, despite the fact that he obviously was handicapped with injuries and personal issues in terms of picking the team for this game.
Like we discussed just before we started off, right? I don't think Man City can ever really make an excuse of not having enough players, because let's be clear, the players they still had on the ground, for example, Mendy, they paid 65 million for. So And Nathan Ake, they paid about $45 million for. So that alone, two defenders of the four that played were worth $100 million.
So it's kind of like the rich person's fridge, which is full of expensive food, but not really nutritious one.
Exactly. So anybody who's going to come forward with an excuse that Man City were depleted, yeah, they were depleted, but you still, your team, you had over $300 million worth of players starting that game. So that doesn't hold good. And here's the part that surprises me, right? Pep Guardiola, you are this genius in football. Nobody is denying that. But how did you miss the trick that Leicester City were going to hit you on the counter, were going to use Barnes and Vardy's pace and constantly come at you? They don't care about possession. You could have all of it for all that matters. And they practically did, and they hit you for 5 goals. So I don't know how, as a manager and as your Pep Guardiola, how did you miss this trick? It's not like you were a man down. It's none of those, right? It's just that you fell hook, line and sinker into Leicester's style of football. What Leicester wanted you to do. And you almost made Brendan Rodgers look like a genius on the day. But this has been Leicester's style of football for the last 4 or 5 years. And I don't know. I don't get how you missed that. And
Brendan Rodgers being made to look like a genius is basically his entire career CV, which he has built. Based on other managers making him look like a genius.
Absolutely. I this whole City performance left me baffled because we keep saying this, Pep Guardiola might be really complicating this game more than it needs to be. It's a fairly simple game. It's a very, very simple game if you really stick to the basics and if you guard your wings. But I don't know, man. I think Pep Guardiola might not last in City beyond this season is my only prediction.
That's a pretty bold prediction at that. But incidentally, this was a case of City, again, that so-called press or highline that you have come to see, which incidentally is the last topic of our discussion today, because we are moving towards the most seismic or maybe the most important result, because Liverpool kept the heat up on Aston Villa in the championship chase by winning their third straight game against Arsenal 3-1, but not before conceding a goal which followed a template of a couple of goals they have conceded against Arsenal like this before. And Jurgen Klopp kind of had a little bit of a tiff with Roy Keane on Monday Night Football in Sky when he called the performance sloppy, and Klopp kind of looked very stung by the comment and leapt to the defense, saying that these kind of high lines, when you play, there is always the risk of conceding, and it does happen. But here again, at Soccer Sense, we are here to separate the wheat from the chaff in that sense. Vishal, quick assessment of the game in general, and more importantly, this risk that Liverpool are running in terms of the specific style they're playing.
So one, I think great game of football, right? I think both the teams really did put in a great shift. I think I actually enjoyed watching that game. There's suddenly a trend of Liverpool making a mistake and conceding a goal almost every game now. So if I'm Jurgen Klopp, I'm going to look at this, because it's not every game that you're going to be allowed to come back and there is going to be one team who's going to make you pay dearly for mistakes like this, because be it Van Dijk, be it Robertson, these are uncharacteristic mistakes, right? It's not about the mistakes, but it's the fact that it's coming from players who don't normally commit these mistakes. And two, coming to the whole playing the high line thing, right? So the thing about when you play a high line, you need two things, right? You need your wing backs to be excellent. And when I say excellent, I mean defensively. I think if you look at Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, both of them are good defenders, are much better in offense, but defensively they do have, every time you see a proper winger play against the likes of Trent Alexander, you see him getting beaten and you see him getting run ragged a little, right? And that's one of the risks that you run. And also, more importantly, it's you need four players who can play it out from the back, right? And I get what Klopp is doing, because he's got Thiago in the team, right? Because he's also going to have him slot into the team and pick up the ball from the defenders early. So that's I get where that the whole idea, the move comes from. I get the transition he's really making and preparing his team for Thiago coming in and being a permanent fixture. But it's a risk you run, especially against a team like Leicester, for example. They want you to play a high line. They don't mind being caught offside five times, because one out of the five, six times they are going to be in the offside trap. And that's exactly what a lot of teams will try and do there. And if you remember the Leeds game, right, the reason why Liverpool conceded so many goals was Leeds started playing a lot of cross-field balls and started catching the Liverpool defence off guard, right? So there's a lot that Klopp needs to really look and revisit and wonder if he wants to go this route. So far, so good. Mighty impressive. Everything from midfield forward looks good, but I think their defence needs to be looked at. I think he needs to sit down with them and wake them up a little, because it's easy to get carried away. So a little bit of an awakening is required, but so far, so good.
Right. And of course, we will be tracking Liverpool's charge towards the title, as we will be the other Merseyside club that shall not be named. We shall get back. We shall get back to that team. But they had an impressive weekend as well. So they are also on Absolutely. 9 points and on top of the table. And it would be interesting to see how their season develops. Vishal, we finally might have a proper Merseyside derby after a long time.
We do, because I still think Everton have the best manager in the country. Say what you want, I think Ancelotti is better than every other manager in England right now. I've always been a fan of what Ancelotti has pulled off. And
Klopp actually acknowledged that, I think, because... Yeah. In one of the questions about the so-called other Merseyside team. So,
and you need to understand, like, Ancelotti's successes came at a time where it was a different era of football, right? That AC Milan team he built, and the team he's beaten, and then succeeding in Chelsea, succeeding in Germany, succeeding in everywhere, almost pushing Juve with Napoli as well before things fell apart. But the man... I think, like I said, the best manager in the country right now. So
absolutely has an excellent football.
And Lampard should pick up a notebook and watch the transfer window with Everton and look at the kind of buys he's made. That's called shrewd business, right? Because that's identifying what you need to fix and fixing it. So I think there's notes there for every manager. So I think it's going to be a good season, unless Everton players self-destruct. I think they might be on for a special run. It might be a top four, top five finish, but it's going to be interesting.
Well, not since 2013-14 have we seen this much ebullience and enthusiasm and hope for Everton. And hopefully, just to spice things up in the season, I say this as a dyed-in-the-wool Liverpool fan, that it remains like that, because it is going to be exciting to watch. And of course, it is definitely going to make our podcast episodes a little spicier, of which we will be bringing you more through the season as it goes along. You can find us on Twitter at SenSoccer, and you can find us on any of the podcasting platforms that you use. Search for us on Soccer Sense and subscribe to us on the app. That's about all the time we have for this episode. This is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
See you guys the next time.